It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson and welcome to the show. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And podcasts of the shows can be found there as well. And we have our new podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson, and those are all there as well. And if you want to reach out to me, you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. We've got a great show planned for you today. Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado is going to be weighing in the second segment on places that the Colorado legislature could make some cuts because certainly the revenue is going to be down significantly because of the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption. And then in the third and fourth segment, we'll be talking with Brigitte Gabriel, and she is the chairman of Act for America, the nation's premier national security organization, has over 1 million members. She's also a New York Times bestselling author of 3 books. Her bestseller right now is Rise. So we've got a great show planned for you today. As we look at these issues, as we're walking through this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption, Rudyard Kipling says it well. Put on your thinking caps. He says, I keep 6 honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And that is what we're doing as we're looking at these issues. We've always been working at looking at these as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. But what we've seen is fear has just whipped us up to a point where people are allowing all kinds of force. And we're seeing politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties happily step into that and take more and more force. And we need to be walking this back as we're getting through this Wuhan virus COVID-19 disruption. And remember, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, their livelihoods via force, whether with a weapon policy or unpredictable and excessive taxation. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. So I always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And producer Steve, how are you doing this morning?
It's a Monday, but I'm handling it.
Well, that's good because tomorrow will be Tuesday and soon it'll be Friday. So happy Monday to all of you. And each of you listeners, thank you. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. So go out there today and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Be industrious, be productive. So today our quote for inspiration is from Eddie Rickenbacker. Do you remember the name by any chance of Eddie? Is it Rickenbacker or Rickenbacker? Do you remember the name,
well,
Steve?
Being a former member of the Air Force, yeah, you know names like that. And Rickenbacker is the way I've always, you know, heard it.
Okay. Well, he was an American fighter ace in World War I and a Medal of Honor recipient. 26 aerial victories. He was America's most successful fighter ace in the war. He was also considered to have received the most awards for valor by an American during World War I. He was also a race car driver, an automotive designer, a government consultant in the military matters, and a pioneer in air transportation, particularly as the longtime head of Eastern Airlines. He was born in 1890 and he died in 1973. And he says the 4 cornerstones of character on which the structure of this nation was built are initiative, imagination, individuality, and independence. Love that, Steve.
Pretty much says it all, doesn't it? And I guess I need to be historically correct when I said you get familiar with names like that being in the Air Force. Obviously, his flying days was long before there was an Air Force, and you know, he's Army Air Corps. But still, when you're part of an organization in the branch of the military called the Air Force, you learn about the exploits and the successes of all kinds of people. And he was just one of many.
Yeah, well, 26 aerial victories back in World War One. Just think about what they were flying around in and just what he did to accomplish that. It's pretty amazing. So our funnies for today, do you remember Spam by any chance? Did you ever eat Spam when you were a kid?
Well, yeah, and now as well. I grab it when I see it, walk past, see it sitting on the shelf, but it's not something that I go looking for weekly.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
not
my
like
mom,
bacon or something like that.
Yeah. Well, my mom used to fry it. I remember that. But anyway, here we go. Hormel made the last batch of Spam in 1937. And with all the food hoarding going on, they think that they're going to make their second batch soon.
Well, that's so bad.
Okay, let's jump in here. There's some serious stuff going on, Steve. Patty found this. I think that Kevin Lundberg came up with this. But there is a letter that was sent by a senior living center here in it was in Arapahoe County to, I think it says resident families and team members. And it's from Summer and Glenn Nursing Home. And it is from the executive director to these people. And I've actually been to that particular facility. It is a beautiful facility. It's very well run. And someone that had worked there had learned that I did all these interviews with these World War II veterans. And so she asked if I would come and make a presentation to the residents, which I did on two different occasions, I guess it was. And so these people are near and dear to my heart. And I, in fact, got to interview a couple of World War II veterans that lived there as well. So I know the facility. I know that it is very well run. And interestingly enough, and again, this is in Kevin Lundberg's weekly newsletter, he says, sorting through all the graphs and charts from the state health department can be daunting. And many of the data points are quite misleading, such as the number of cases, which only tells us how many cases have been tested, not how many have caught the virus. Another misleading number is the hospital cases, for they give total admissions, not being very forthcoming with the detail that a great number of those cases are not still in the hospital. In fact, our hospitals have more empty beds than patients. He said previously that at least the number of COVID deaths should be a hard number. But this week he learned of at least two instances where deaths from the non-COVID causes are being counted as COVID deaths. And one of those examples is from a public statement of a long-term care facility who point blank say the state health department is overriding the attending physician's judgment and insisting that non-COVID deaths be counted as COVID deaths. In fact, their statement says that eight recent deaths at the facility for four deaths, fully half of that number, the state health department is overriding the attending physician and counting them as COVID deaths. He says, in my opinion, this is medical malpractice and someone should be held accountable for cooking the books. I totally agree with this. And let's just unpack this a bit more, Steve. These health officials are using these numbers, increasing numbers, to continue these shutdowns, these shutdown of our businesses, the livelihoods of many people, to isolate our elderly, and to prevent these elective and quote-unquote non-essential services. And Patty brought up a really important point, because we had Dr. Jill Vecchio on last week, and also there's some great podcasts at the website as well. And she is a radiologist in the mammography business. And, you know, one of the things they say about breast cancer is early detection is the way to save lives. And here at this point in time, we don't have any of those mammograms going on. Just think of all the different services that are not going on that saves lives because of this COVID-19 narrative. Now, if we find out that the health departments are coming in and overriding the what is on the death certificate so that they can inflate their numbers so they can continue the shutdown and control, Steve, there is something very, very cruel about that.
Well, anybody who is hearing this for the first time would be, I think, a thinking person would become immediately suspicious and say, what is the motivation? And I can see it being a financial motivation. I could see it be like what you just mentioned. Let's continue our death grip of control that seems to be getting bigger and bigger.
No pun intended.
Seems to be getting bigger as each week passes. And I know it's going to be addictive. Let's see how well they can release their grip that they've acquired in the last 2 or 3 months.
Well, I think we can see that many of them are not up for releasing their grip because they want to cook the numbers so they can keep that grip. And you know, the old adage of you lie to me once, shame on me. You lie to me twice, shame on you. Wait, no, other way around.
The other way around.
You lie to me once, shame on you. You lie to me twice, shame on me. And we as the American people need to realize that. And I saw something so interesting. One of my Topics and Topics colleagues sent this, and that is the media. You know, many times it's put up that the media, it's Fox News against CNN or MSNBC. Fox News, they have, you know, 5 hours, five different hosts in the evening. And during that time, typically the people that watch that over those 5 hours is about 4.1 million people. And that's significantly more than watching CNN or MSNBC during that time frame. But the point that was made on this video that was shared with me is that that half hour, 6 to 6:30, ABC, CBS, NBC, there's a 33 million people that watch that half hour. And the amount of propaganda that is put into that half hour, and it's a 6-to-1 ratio. And you realize that so many people are watching that. That is their news. And they take what they're saying as gospel. And we know, Steve, you know, you, Patty, and I, we all do so much research. We know when we're seeing mistruths there. But the point is there's 33 million people that are at the trough getting that information and not asking the Rudyard Kipling questions that we ask every morning of what and why, when and how, and where and who. And it's truly amazing with President Trump every day going out and doing these press conferences and calling them out for what is really going on. And they continue to give mistruths. I think I mentioned last week, but I'll mention it again. I was out and about last week going up I-25. And you know those signs that are above the highway, you know, typically they're supposed to let you know if there's an accident ahead or whatever. They're becoming propaganda signs. It says, stay home, save a life. Well, what's the opposite? If you're out and about, if you want to start, go back to work and get out and about, see your friends, then if you want to get out and about, you want to kill somebody. I mean, that's what it really is saying. It's so subtle, but it's such propaganda. So then people that are believing that look at somebody that's out and about and they say, oh my gosh, they want to kill people. It is, you know, there is something super irresponsible about this, but there's something very, very wrong about it, Steve.
Sorry, there's a phone call coming in. Yes, there is. And back to your first, you know, point you were making about news gathering and people watching the news at a certain time of day. The operative word is journalism. When is the last time we saw real journalism in this country?
Well, we're hoping that you're getting some here, although we do this with opinion. So, but yes, we're doing this with integrity. If we get something wrong, we'll work to correct it. We work towards wisdom, discernment, and clarity. Before we go to break, though, a couple of things. And that is MSN.com reported this, that nursing homes in some states are being told to take patients infected with coronavirus. And then also, this is from the New York Post, coronavirus patients are admitted to Queens nursing homes with body bags. Now, wait a minute. Isn't Governor Cuomo talking about how important each life is? And then yet we know that are the most vulnerable are the people in nursing homes. And now these nursing homes are being ordered to accept COVID-19 patients. So they are bringing that into the nursing home. And so one has to ask, you know, what is the real motivation here? Do you really care about people? And, you know, as we're starting to connect the dots, it looks to me like there's something actually, I want to say almost sinister about this, Steve. So we're going to go to break, though. Before we do that, it has been a tough time for our restaurants and our bars and our taverns. And Hooters Restaurants is, they're very good partners of mine with both my shows. And they're offering delivering a service at all 5 of the Hooters Colorado locations. And they're accepting to-go orders. They can be placed at order.hooters.com. I picked up wings on Saturday night. They're great. Curbside service. You just drive up and they'll bring it out. Wednesday is Wings Day. You can buy 20 wings and get 10 for free. So go to order.hooters.com, and you can get some great dinner tonight. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado, talking about places that the Colorado legislature could cut as we come into this very difficult budget talk that we're having down there. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hello.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and all the podcasts, the shows can be there, as well as our new podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. Thrilled to have on the line with me Sue Moore. She and a team with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado are going through all of this legislation. They've been watching it. Of course, we are now in adjournment, but they're working on suggestions on places that the legislature could cut, because we're going to be having a budget shortfall. So, Sue Moore, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. I'm happy to be here.
So there, we're going to be getting into a session at some point in time here soon. And sort of things are totally different than when the adjournment happened, the temporary adjournment. So where are you suggesting that the legislature should start to consider cutting?
Yeah, well, we're having those discussions now, but just to remind your listeners, you know, the mission of the Republican Liberty Caucus, we're a political action organization, and we have three main principles that we promote, those of individual rights, limited government, and free markets. And basically, we do that in two ways. We try to work within the state Republican Party, and we try to identify or recruit and support candidates for state and local government who will hold to our principles. So we do that in two ways. We do it through endorsements, and then we also produce our Liberty Scorecard, which you and I talk about during each of these conversations, which is where we monitor bills and try to hold our elected officials accountable to these principles. So in past weeks, you and I have talked about how our Liberty Scorecard committee looks at each bill as they wind through the legislature. We then discuss these with the committee. We apply our principles, kind of put them through what we call our Liberty meat grinder, and then we rate each bill, either support or oppose. We compare our ratings with the votes of each legislator, and then we calculate a score, give them a report card. And so all those results can be found on our website at rlcco.org. But as you said, since we've had this COVID-19 crisis and the legislature's in adjournment, no new bills are coming through the pipe. So we've already talked about bills that we'd love to see die, that we think are obvious things that need to be cut. But even so, there's still going to be an estimated now $2 to $3 billion shortfall in our budget. So just snipping around the edges and cutting these, you know, causing these bills to die isn't going to cut it. So we've got to find, you know, larger items that we need to cut. So with that in mind, we're looking at, you know, big budget categories. And we're going to start this week with education spending. which is kind of a, you know, a bugaboo. Nobody wants to touch that, but unfortunately it's just going to have to happen. So K through 12, just to set this up, it accounts for over a third, K through 12 and higher education accounts for about a third of the state budget. So it's a huge budget item. Now, when Governor Polis was still candidate Polis, one of his campaign priorities was early childhood education. So just last year, he pushed for and ultimately passed a bill that funded full-day kindergarten for students in Colorado. And that was funded to the tune of $180 million. Now, sadly, that was under budgeted and way oversubscribed from the get-go. So we're now in a $40 million hole on top of the $185 million that was allocated. On top of that, there are arguments on both sides of the issue as to whether or not full-day kindergarten is good for kids, if it's, you know, whether or not it's, you know, obviously there's some cost-benefit analysis that have to go on. And, we can't really get into that, but we know, you know, right off the top, if we were to go back to not funding full-day kindergarten, that would be a savings of about $240 million. So then come this year, expanding on that, Governor Polis now wants to fund state-paid preschool education. So that's a bill in the works, and that comes with a $27 million price tag. So we're thinking that one's pretty much a non-starter. That wasn't budgeted for to begin with, so it's probably just not going to happen. But should we not fund full-day kindergarten, that would save us a bundle of money right there. Now, if you look at the other side of the education spectrum, we also fund higher education, post-secondary education, colleges, junior colleges. Pure libertarians would argue that providing education is really not the proper role of government, but be that as it may, we've already decided as a society that we need to fund education at least to some level. So should we decide to, you know, focus on K through 12 and not fund post-secondary education, you know, given that not everybody who graduates from high school even wants to or should go on to college, a lot of people are starting to realize that it's overpriced and maybe it's of questionable value. So we're starting to question whether or not, you know, everyone should pay for the limited few who should go on to post-secondary education. Higher ed accounts for 15% of our state budget already. So that comes to $5 billion. That supports our 27 state campuses. In addition to that, we also last year spent over $150 million in capital construction funds just for higher education facilities. So the question here is, should higher education be funded at all? I'm guessing, you know, the answer would be yes, but to what extent? And, you know, given that, we think that $5 billion of a $32 billion budget is probably too much. We won't say specifically how much that should be. We just think that budget item should get additional scrutiny. So that's where we are this week, looking at education funding cuts. So if we have a few minutes or a minute or two, I'd like to switch gears here. As I mentioned, the Republican Liberty Caucus strives to identify and recruit and support candidates for local and state offices who sign our Liberty Compact, which is on our website, and they also promise to uphold our principles of individual liberty, free markets, and limited government. We have a process that's explained on our website, rlcco.org, for candidates who seek our endorsement. It asks a lot of really probing questions about a candidate's thoughts on proper role of government, and it also asks how well they are prepared to run a successful campaign in their particular race. So once you've submitted, gone to the website, filled out, you know, you're a candidate, let's say, for a state house district, you go to the website, you fill out the questionnaire, you pass the first committee, you know, we do an online conference call, discuss whether or not we want to call someone in for an interview. And then given the times, we probably will do that on a platform like Zoom. We ask additional questions, and then we as a committee, the Liberty Scorecard Republican Liberty Caucus Committee, We ask some additional questions. So we're not everyone's cup of tea. Our standards are really high. You know, just having an R after your name and promising to cut taxes isn't really enough for us. So we invite candidates, people who are looking for even county commissioner, city council offices, but mostly state house, state senate offices. We invite them to go to our website, rlcco.org, and take a look at the questionnaire if it's something that interests you. Fill it out, and we would love to talk to you.
Well, fantastic. You're doing great work on that, Sue Moore. So thank you so much. That's the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. That's rlcco.org. We'll talk to you next Monday morning. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Kim. Bye.
Okay. And before we go to break, we'll be talking with Jason McBride. You know him. He's with Presidential Wealth Management. He and his colleagues over there can help you as we're navigating through this crazy COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption in the markets. So Jason McBride, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim. I hope you had a very good weekend.
I did have a good weekend. It seems like spring is starting to come around, so I'm excited. We need to be coming out of our homes and getting things done. Yesterday, I saw all kinds of people out in their yards working. I think that's still okay, last I checked.
Yeah, I think so, and I think, we had some restrictions expire yesterday and some businesses should be starting to open back up, so I think that's great, and the sooner we get back to normal, and I mean just normal, not some new normal, the better I think we'll be, Kim.
I do too. What's the market saying to us this morning?
It looks pretty happy. We had a good day on Friday with the indexes were up on decent volume this morning. It looks like right now the futures are showing about a 250-point increase on the open for the Dow. Now, again, that's a long time till we open. It could change between now and then. But, from what we could tell, the markets look like they're going to be happy on the open, trying to break above resistance short term, break above the 50-day moving average. If we could do that with a good punch in volume on the upside, I think that's another positive sign to continue the road to recovery in the markets.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? I can't wait till we get back to our normal. I think this has been really hard on a lot of people. I saw a little neighbor of mine that is in that vulnerable age group, and she's lonely. She loves to be out and about, and this has been really hard on her. So I can't wait till we get back to the normal, Jason McBride.
Yes, that's right. Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Kim, and the sooner we can get back to being together with one another and working hard and being productive, the better off we're going to be. So hopefully it's not a slow, grueling process like many are predicting, and I hope it's a quick process that's very successful.
Well, me too, and that goes back to the quote that we had today from Eddie Rickenbacker, the American fighter ace, and he said, the four cornerstones of character of the structure of America is initiative, imagination, individuality, and independence. And it seems like there's been those that have wanted to shut that down a bit, but you know what, that's who we are, Jason, so I'm glad the markets are hopefully we're going to be recognizing that. But if people want to get more information to work with you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management, they can go to the website, which I would recommend because you've got that whole piece that you've done on the whole CARES Act that will help people, and it can inform them. They can sign up for it. So that is airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com, and there's all kinds of great information there, Jason.
Yep, that's right. And you can also just give us a call the old-fashioned way. To talk to one of our advisors if you have questions or need help with something. The number's 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600.
Okay, Jason McBride, thank you so much. We will talk to you tomorrow. You have a great day.
All right, have a great show, Kim.
Okay, thanks so much. We'll go to break, and we'll be right back with Brigitte Gabriel.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
You once, twice,
Hey, welcome back to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Podcast recaps of the shows can be found there, as well as our new podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. And if you want to reach out to me, that is kim at kimmunson.com. I am thrilled to have on the line with me Brigitte Gabriel. She is the chairman of Act for America, which is the nation's premier national security organization with over a million members. She's also a New York Times bestselling author of three books. Her latest bestseller is Rise. Brigitte Gabriel, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Delighted to be with you.
It is great to have you. You have written a very important piece recently regarding China. You said that when Donald Trump ran for president, media pundits said his tough stance on China showed that he was stuck in the 90s. But what it really showed was that he was ahead of the curve. And you said that U.S. elites can actually correct the mistakes that we have made with China. Okay, Brigitte, break this down for us. What happened and what can we do about it?
Well, all I can say is thank God we have somebody like President Trump in office who actually really gets it. And he doesn't mind facing off with our enemy and not backing down because he puts the interest of the American people first. And as I said in my article, I mean, President Trump has been talking about this for 30 years, Kim, when he was businessman Donald Trump. I'm not sure if you've seen that interview with him with the Oprah show. Back then, talking about how China was taking advantage of the United States. Again, when he was running, before he even was candidate Donald Trump, he was talking about the threat from China. Everybody laughed at him, thought, oh, you know, and President Obama was saying, well, how are you going to bring these jobs back? Not only he was able to negotiate the contract and reform our deal with China, but now being faced with the COVID-19 Chinese virus, President Trump is finally at the helm as the CEO of our country, and he will do whatever it takes to bring back manufacturing to the United States to make sure we are never dependent on another nation, hostile nation, that when we are in the middle of a pandemic, they threaten to cut off our antibiotics. And so, you know, we are seeing the movement to shift everything from manufacturing in China, from China, and bringing it back to the United States, and that's a good thing.
Well, it is a really good thing, and I don't think that people, you know, before this realized just how dependent we had gotten on China. And as you mentioned, 80% of our vaccinations and medications are coming from China. So as we go through this, is there going to be shortages? Are we going to be able to bring this back quickly? What do you think, Brigitte Gabriel?
Well, we're not going to be able to bring it overnight because a lot of our products is manufactured, they are manufactured in China. Look, 50% of apple juice comes from China. Yeah, most people don't know that. Over 50% of fish, cod, tilapia, 80% of tilapia comes from China. The seafood farmers won't even, the Chinese seafood farmers, it is known that in China they won't even feed the fish that they export to the United States to their own children. And that should tell us something, Kim, coming from the Chinese who eat bats sold in a wet market. Black pepper, chicken, peas, I mean, the product that comes from China, people have no idea. Our military equipment, materials for our night vision goggles, for critical defense mechanism for our military, multiple products come from China. So all that needs to change, but it's not going to change overnight. And this is what President Trump is doing, like a song and dance with China. At the same time, we're trying to speak with them, trying to reason with them, trying to appear that we're working with them, while giving us the time to be able to start moving and shifting factories back to the United States. And for that to happen, we're going to need to basically introduce laws in Congress and pass laws in Congress that will help the business owners and corporation to make it feasible for them to be able to do, to manufacture the product in the United States and sell it in an American market where the cost is not astronomically high that the American public is going to revolt against it. But I think think because of what we just went through, the American public is willing to pay a few extra dollars. Look, I'm sure you, me, and many of our listeners are willing to pay the few extra dollars for a T-shirt or whatever product we buy to make sure that our country is safe, our businesses are prospering, our people are employed, and we are in a position of strength instead of a position of weakness. And by the way, I want our audience to know that we, Act for America, my organization, we are working on bills in Congress. There are now three bills introduced in Congress to bring manufacturing back to the United States, and we are working on those, one with Senator Cotton, one with Senator Josh Hawley, one with Senator Marsha Blackburn, one in Congress with Congressman Chip Roy, and many others are coming down the pipeline. I know one is going to be introduced by Senator Ted Cruz here shortly. But as soon as Congress reconvenes on May 4th, all these bills are going to start moving. So I encourage people to go to our website, actforamerica.org. actforamerica.org. Click on Contact Congress and on our high priority issues so you can read about these bills, sign up for our information so when the bills start moving in Congress, we can contact you so you can call your elected official or email your elected official and make a difference for the country.
Well, Imbrishi, you are one of the premier organizations regarding national security. And while we have been so focused on this COVID-19 thing, I mean, that's all the news talks about, it seems that some of our adversaries are starting to kind of rattle their swords a bit. Last week in The Hill, there was a piece that said the foreign powers are testing U.S. defenses amid this coronavirus pandemic. And we've seen Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. They're all moving to test us, and people don't even realize the danger in that. Speak to that a bit, Brigitte Gabriel.
Exactly, because they see that we are very spread right now, and they see how, in their mind, they perceive that America is distracted. They've got this COVID-19. A lot of the military equipment is manufactured in China. They are exploiting our weakness because they think we are weak. But under this president, you know, he beefed up the military, Kim, for the last 3 years. I mean, our military right now is better than ever, and this is exactly why President Trump was starting to pull troops out of the Middle East, where we have literally pumped trillions of dollars building schools for them and building basically nation building, where it didn't get us anywhere. And he says, enough is enough. We're bringing everything back. We're going to fix our economy. We're going to keep the money in America. And we're going to approve an increased budget for our defense to basically build back up our military. Built it back to the way it used to be, because under President Trump, under President Obama, the military became so weak because he cut off a lot of the defense budget. So all that is back up. But of course they're going to exploit it because they see this as an opportunity. And we are starting to see a shift in the world powers. So you're starting to see Russia build different alliances. You're starting to see Iran build different alliances. And everybody's trying to be a counterpart to the United States, especially China. China wants to be the world leader economically, and China wants to be the superpower and the United States. And so they're exploiting it, but we're not going to let it happen. And as long as we have a very strong president at the White House who gets it, who surrounded himself with a cabinet that gets it, they're not going to be able to get away with it. And we keep a watch on what's happening. And that's why I encourage people, go to our website, actforamerica.org, sign up for our alert. It's free, doesn't cost you anything. Sign up as an activist. We want to make sure we are mobilizing our citizens to always keep an eye on the safety and security of America, because you have to always be vigilant, keep your eyes open, and always be on the lookout for new threats in order to protect the country.
So just a question, you know, we had this this thing with the USS Theodore Roosevelt, the aircraft carrier, that there were some sailors that had come down with COVID-19 on the ship, and apparently the captain had sent a letter out to the press, I mean to the world, that in fact that they had some of these cases there, and he was relieved of his command because of that. And then the news was talking about that maybe he shouldn't have been, you know, it was just all over that perhaps that was not appropriate. But you have to question a captain that is actually, you know, trumpeting to the world that our aircraft carrier might actually have some vulnerabilities. What's your thoughts about that, Brigitte Gabriel?
Well, look, that was a special case. I mean, I know that he went against the chain of command, but he has been trying to sound the alarm and let them know that, you know, we have COVID-19 exploding on the ship. And they were. I mean, look, it turned out how many people on that ship? I think almost all of them were infected with the COVID virus. And so this is why he was so concerned. And the military, finally, I think they're going to reinstate him, because they realized, when they realized almost everybody on that ship, 90% were infected with COVID-19 after every thing was said and done, they realized all he did was basically trying to protect his men. And look, with what was happening, I mean, remember, this was a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, we had the president on television, based on his advisor's counsel, that we're going to have over 100,000 people, 100 to 200,000 people at minimum die in the United States. So people were frightened. People were learning information as we went along. People were learning a new thing every day. So in a way, you don't blame this captain who is in charge of a ship that has a few thousand people on it, and he did not want to see a few thousand people die. You know, it was a very unique situation, and I hope they will reinstate him back, because all he was trying to do is basically save his men, and I think that's exactly the direction they're heading. They're going to reinstate him.
Okay. I appreciate your perspective on that, because I saw something that said that this was letting our adversaries know that we were vulnerable. But you think that we're going to get through this okay, and that it does make sense to reinstate him then?
Yes, there's move to reinstate them, because, look, this is one ship. I mean, you know, the mighty military of the United States is more than one ship. But in this specific case with the coronavirus exploding on a ship where people share bunkers, four people to a room, I mean, you know, I'm not sure if you've been into an aircraft carrier or a ship, but it is such a small space where they have 5,000, sometimes 6,000 people on that ship. So when you have something that's highly contagious like the coronavirus, the last thing you need is, God forbid, 5,000 U.S. sailors dying on a ship in the middle of the ocean. And again, 4 weeks ago, you know, we didn't know how bad things were. I mean, look, we sent the Mercy to New York, the two military ships to L.A. and New York, trying to provide extra bed spaces, because we didn't know how many people are going to die or how fast. But, you know, as we figure things out and people are starting, you know, the fog is settling down and everybody's trying to see the clearer picture, they're realizing the captain served honorably. Obviously, he's a captain of a ship. And all he was trying to do is save the lives of his men who were stuck in the middle of the ocean in the middle of a pandemic with a disease exploding on the ship.
And that is his responsibility, isn't it?
His responsibility is to protect his men, and he tried to sound the alarm over and over again. So, by the time he said it, and hopefully they'll try to reinstate him.
Okay. So, Brigitte Gabriel, let's go to break. You know her. She's the chairman of Act for America, which is the nation's premier national security organization, and she's also a best-selling author. Her latest bestseller is Rise. Let's go to break, and when we come back, let's talk about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and their connections with China as well, because we see the danger that we have with China, and let's just talk about what's been going on with the Bidens in China. We'll be right back. This is Kim Munson, and Brigitte Gabriel is on the line.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is truly an independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the Contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Hey, welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Brigitte Gabriel. You know her. She's an amazing woman. In fact, she spoke at the Western Conservative Summit this last year, and she just rocked the place because she has such passion for our country. And, you know, before we do that, Brigitte, tell our listeners a little bit about your story. I know your story, so I think I take it for granted that everybody else knows that. How did you get to where you are? Your story is an amazing story.
Well, you know, national security is so dear to me because my life was affected by terrorism as a child. I was born and raised in Lebanon, which used to be the only majority Christian country in the Middle East. My 9/11 happened to me in 1975 when radical Islamists blew up my home, bringing it down, burying me under the rebel wounded. I ended up in a hospital for 2.5 months and later ended up living with my parents in an underground bomb shelter in an 8x10 room without electricity, without water, and very little food. And that's where we lived for the next 7 years of my life, from the age of 10 till the age of 17, robbed of my youth, trying to survive every day. So I'm not slaughtered by radical Islamists. Our home was destroyed. I buried most of my friends by the time I was 20 years old. They were all slaughtered by radical Islamists. And that all happened back in the 70s and early 80s, Kim, before Americans could even utter or even think about terrorism or radical Islamic terrorism, etc. And so on 9/11, I ended up marrying an American, coming to the United States. I'm living the American dream, working, living in a four-bedroom home, having two children, owning my own small business. 9/11 changed all that for me because 9/11 was really a defining moment for me. My daughters came home from school, and my youngest daughter asked me, "Mommy, why did they do this to us?" And I found myself answering my daughter the same answer my father gave me when I was a 10-year-old little girl in a hospital in southern Lebanon, hooked up to IVs, going from one surgery to another. When I would ask my daddy, "Why did they do this to us?" my father would tell me, "They hate us because they consider us infidels and they want to kill us." So here I found out, looking into my daughter's eye in America and telling her the same answer, "They hate us because they consider us infidels." And so here we were, you know, I was a 10-year-old young Lebanese girl. She's a young American girl. I spoke Arabic. My daughter spoke English, 8,000 miles apart, 30 years apart, two different continents. And I found myself saying the same answer. That day, I vowed that I will do everything I can to make sure that my daughter will never have to look into her child's eyes and repeat to him or to her what my daddy said to me and what I had to say to her. That day, I really became an activist. I was reborn as an activist, and I decided I'm going to form an organization that will protect America and Americans from all threats, foreign or domestic, regardless what nation, what group. We're going to stand up against evil, and we're going to mobilize Americans to make sure we have a grassroots organization that will always stand guard to protect the United States and its citizens from anybody and everybody that wishes to do us harm, destroy our country, and kill our people. And that's when I launched Act for America. And I'm so proud to tell you that Act for America today is over 1 million members strong. Actually, we are 1.6 million members.
Wow.
We have passed 107 bills on the federal level and the state level to protect America. We started in 2002 after 9/11, and it goes to show you, this is what the American spirit is all about. This is what happens in America. Because in America, you can do anything. The sky is the limit. And when you have the passion, and I tell people all the time, you know, what makes America different, Americans, than anybody else in the world, is Americans have spunk. We have attitude. America is not a geographical location. America is an attitude. And that's why we made the greatest nation on the face of the planet. It is that spirit of America. And so I encourage people who are listening right now, if you are touched by my story, if you are touched by what I just shared, go to actforamerica.org and join us. And actually, Kim, my life story is detailed in my first book titled Because They Hate. And I encourage everyone to get that book and read it.
It is an inspiring story, and I love it. The American idea, it's an attitude. And what's so interesting, Brigitte Gabrielle, is, and I think Maggie Thatcher said something along this line, is America is not a place, it's an ideal. And people can come to America from other countries and become Americans. But I can't move to France or Germany or any other countries. I can live there, but I do not become a German or a French woman. But in America, you can come here and become an American because it is an ideal. And that is something that is so unique and so astounding about the American experiment.
Exactly. And not only that, but the rights that we have, Kim, as citizens, and I'm telling you, as somebody who was born and raised in a different part of the world, the rights that we have as citizens in the United States, no one in the world has the rights that we have. To give you a perfect example, free speech. We take it for granted that we have free speech in this country. We take it for, you know, Canada doesn't have free speech. Most people don't know that. We cannot talk. When I give an interview to Canada, I cannot talk like I'm talking with you. Because in Canada, they don't have free speech. They can sue you for certain things that you say. And so we take our rights for granted. But God bless our founding fathers and their wisdom who gave us the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. I mean, the rights that we have in this country are unbelievable. This is why we need to fight so hard to protect them. You know, they say freedom is only one generation away. And it is so true. You know, on my website, I say, you don't own freedom. We only preserve it for the next generation. And this is exactly what we do and who we are. But also, you know, here's something so enlightening about why America is a spirit and Americans think differently. We put out a petition for the international market on our website about China, saying we want to petition the United States and the World Health Organization to begin investigating China. Now, we have a petition on our website for the American market, hold China accountable, because we know in America we think differently. We don't have a problem calling our elected official or sending an email to our elected official and let them know what we think and let them have it. We are opinionated in America because we have freedom of speech, and we know we're not going to have the military show up in the middle of the night and kill us in our homes if we express our opinion. The interesting thing is, we did this petition for the international market to hold the UN and the World Health Organization accountable. And I thought, okay, we're going to have, you know, maybe a couple million signatures or something. It is shocking because it made me realize that people in the rest of the world are so afraid and intimidated to challenge authority or put their name on something lest their leaders come hunt them down. How dare you do this? You can't do this. You can't do that. And it just reminded me of the past where I, you know, where when I grew up in Lebanon, you would never dare, even today, you would never dare criticize leaders, authority, big organizations, because you are afraid that someone is going to come kill you in the middle of the night. But in America, we don't have that. And this is why Americans take their freedoms for granted. They don't realize what an incredible, amazing nation we have and what incredible rights that we have and why it's so important to protect them, to stand up for them, to fight for them, to preserve them for our future generations. And that's why I tell people, I named the organization Act for America. Not think about America, not wish for America, not hope for America, not pray for America, but act for America, because you can hope and think and pray and wish. None of that will do any difference. You only act for America, and that's how you make a difference for the country.
Okay, Brigitte, we only have a couple of minutes, and so we're going to have to get you back regarding the question I had put on the table before we went to break up about the Bidens. But we've got just about a minute, and one of the things I'm concerned about is we are seeing some of our freedoms erode during the COVID-19 thing with the snitching on our neighbors and not being able to go places. So as we're coming out of this, we need to make sure that we act for America and preserve our freedoms. So last minute, your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners, Brigitte Gabriel.
I would like to tell people, if your governors are not listening to you, if your mayors are not listening to you, and they are enforcing the lockdown, speak up now, because we are losing our rights. Find out if the citizens are organizing in your community and join them. If they have a demonstration, show up. Show up responsibly, wear a face mask, make sure you keep physical distance. I don't like to call it social distancing, because we are social people. Americans, we love people, we love to socialize. But keep physical distancing, you know, the 6 feet apart, make sure you wear the mask, and make sure you let your elected officials know that you're not going to lock me up. I'm not in prison. I'm a free person. And if I want to go out, I should be able to go out as long as I am safe and exercising physical distancing and safety and respecting the law. There is no reason for them to lock you up. They are not dictators. They are elected officials. We put them in office and we can just as easily take them out.
Okay, Brigitte Gabriel, thank you so much. We'll get you back on the show here soon. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great day.
You too. And our quote for today is Eddie Rickenbacker. He says, courage is doing what you are afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you are scared. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young. Like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.